Blog Talk Radio.
We got y'all breaking up your desks and everything. Good morning to you out there. Good morning.
Yay! Good morning.
There is so much juice. I had to put on a bib while I was looking at the news this morning. Oh, my God. Oh, the juice that is out there this morning. Oh, we're going to have such a good show later on. Make sure you're listening tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time for This Week in Gaming from GGR. Ah, lovely.
Yay.
Lovely juice. Oh, I don't know where to start.
Grape juice. It's so good.
That's that kind of juice, red hair girl.
What? It's good, man. It's good.
Oh, it is. I will concur. It is. Grape juice is absolutely wonderful. Grape juice and apple juice are like crack. Anybody else feel like that? You start drinking it and you just cannot stop drinking it.
I know. I poured myself a good glass this morning.
Ooh, man. You know, I got to say, there's something to be said for 100-year-old houses. I was thinking it was going to be really hot in here this summer. And, I mean, in certain rooms it is hot because, you know, I keep the rooms closed off. I come from a family that has these kind of houses, you know, where it doesn't have central air. So if you don't have central air, you're trying to figure out how to keep your house cool. You cool it one room at a time. You close off the first room where the actual unit is, and then you open each room as it gets cold. And then the cold flows in. And that's just science, you know, cold air. Heavier than warm air, all that good stuff. Anyway.
Sorry.
So it's actually been cold in here for the past few days. I mean, like, freezing. Like, I like
run
it.
Run off. Because it's like been, like, triple flipping digits here in Texas.
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. It has been hot. So I also want to thank you all for finding me a new addiction that I'll be sharing with you all on our site later today when I can stop playing it. I was doing some binge gaming on accident last night. I was playing the Virtual Families that I downloaded yesterday for the Android, and it is so adorable. It is adorable, and if you haven't played Virtual Families, you should probably take it with you. It's good for Ginger, like when you have your little outings where you have to go and stay for a couple of hours. This is a good one to have because when you come in, it's already, you know, stuff is already going on. You go in and take care of them real quick and then pop out and then go do something else. And, you know, if you have to get up and move, you know, no game time loss. So really adorable. So then you're all messages me at around 2:30 this morning while you and I were in Second Life. And I had Virtual Families going. So I'm doing two games pretty much at once. And I had the third. It was one he found on Kongregate. And it is a version of Pac-Man, which I wondered why nobody had done this, and I'm not good enough to program it, where you're actually in the maze instead of looking down on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see around the corner. You don't know where you're going.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Oh, man, it was so flipping cool. If you get a chance to go over and play with that on Kongregate, go play. But if not, I'm going to have something up, I promise you, when I can stop. Oh, man, chasing the ghost down when you can run behind them. Oh, that is hilarious. Oh, my God.
That does sound awesome. But I can also see, you know, you're running through the tunnels, you're after them, and then, oh, no, you turn around because they're coming after you, and there's another one. Ah!
That's pretty much what happens to me. Or I round the corner and there's one coming straight at me and I can't turn around fast enough. So I'm like, ah!
Hilarious.
No. You cannot have me. Okay, I got to get onto the juice. Oh, man.
But
I waited.
They cannot have you?
I waited for the juice. I waited. Oh.
You didn't wait.
Okay. Naughty Dog, as you just saw me tweet.
Naughty Dog.
They're living up to their name. Okay, apparently, within the game of The Last of Us, this is a spoiler, turn it down low if you don't want to hear this part. You got 2 seconds. Okay, tell you about it. In the game, there's phone sex ads.
What?
On the bulletin board. Wait. That's not the bad part. They're real-life phone sex numbers. So gamers are reporting that they've called hotlines labeled as pest control, and they're expecting to get some Naughty Dog's, you know, Easter egg in the game, and what they're greeted by is anything you want. 24 hours a day, no matter how wild, no matter how kinky. That's what they're getting.
Oh, honest. Well, they're just trying to help people out, you know, just trying to get them laid.
Okay, so The Last of Us creative director Neil Druckmann is saying it's just an artist's mistake. So what happened is they put some phone numbers
artist
in the game.
Take my foot.
They put some phone numbers in the game, and then they thought they could just change the area code to 555. Then it's invalid because it's what you do in the movies. But it doesn't work if you use 1-800 in front of it. He says, we're working to take it out. It was just an honest mistake. I got to sneeze.
Bless you.
I had to mute that. Okay, so the of course, Naughty Dog has been all over the news. I don't know if it's some – I think you guys are doing some good publicity or something is what I think. I'll give you credit if you are. Of course, in the last few days, they've had the whole Ellen Page scandal, the map thing we told you about yesterday. So now the phone sex scandal. They're the hot coffee of 2013. Really not so much. It's just – it's not actual sex in the game, but just a phone number. But I think that's hilarious. Yes, it is a bow chicka. I wish I'd had some cheesy music to play for y'all right at that moment, but I didn't. Oh.
Who didn't know that that was going to be a bad idea?
Not that I'm trying to be sexist or anything, but sometimes details do escape some of our guyly friends out there. I mean, they do great details because in the game is beautiful. I've heard it's greatly detailed, but that small little detail right there, somebody should have said, let me check. And I want to say, I'm sorry, if it was a woman, they would let me check before we put this in here because we don't know what this goes to.
Let me check.
Phone sex. And then, I'm not going to give you the number. I'm sure if you can find it if you really, really want to. Some of you out there, disgusting. Ginger, if I may, one more.
You may, absolutely.
All right, so you got a brick sitting on your entertainment center, also known as your PlayStation 3 right now. They have put a fix in, and they're going to tell you how to de-brick or unbrick or however you want to call it.
Yay!
Brickate, you know, I don't know. So, of course, you remember when you did the 4.45 update, it supposedly bricked some of your consoles. Today they've launched 4.46, which allows you to hide trophy notifications and also doesn't make your console inoperable. For those ill affected by last week's patch, Sony has published a step-by-step guide on their website. Isn't that nice of them? It tells you how to install the new firmware in your PlayStation's hidden safe mode. And I did not know PS3's had a safe mode. How nice! How hot!
That's really cool.
Right. So the method involves downloading firmware update via the PC. Then you save it to a USB stick. And if you don't have one of those in this day and age, you should be slapped. You should keep them in droves. I keep three in my purse at all times. So you should have one.
You never know when you're going to need one.
That's right. And I keep all kinds of stuff on there. Some has personal. Some has stuff, you know, I might need to blackmail some of you with, you know, pictures and whatnot. Anyway. So you can. Mm-hmm. Then you.
Yeah, I knew it.
We're not going to talk about the topless pizzas I got of Ginger.
Yeah!
Of course, I made them topless in Photoshop, but that will not work. It will be any problem when you see them.
Anyway. How evil she is to me.
I love you. Okay, so once you restart your PS3 in safe mode, you can apply the patch manually. I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. Here's a brief rundown. First, you need to download it to your USB stick. Create a folder on your USB drive called PS3. Within the folder, you create another folder called Update. Then you use your computer, click the hyperlink to start downloading it that's on the PlayStation site. You download the data from the webpage, save it in the Update folder, and also in the PS3 Update folder. It has to be named PS3Update.pup and leave the E off of Update. So PS3UPDAT. If the data is not saved in the correct way, the PS3 will not recognize your update. So it must all be in uppercase letters. And you can pop over and find out the rest. It'll tell you how to load into safe mode and all that good stuff over on their blog. You're lazy. You want me to tweet it to you? Fine. I'll tweet it to you. For those of you who are not listening live, go and look for our hashtag GGRN today. I shortened it. And you will find a tweet that says PS3 Unbrick. I put that also in capital letters to remind you, PS3 Unbreak. There you go. All right, enjoy.
He's so nice all the time. All the time.
Sometimes I'm nice. Sometimes.
All the time so nice. All right, so it's my go. There are stupid, stupid people out there in the world. And apparently the Chinese are, like, effed up, yo.
What they doing? Why do we need to cut them?
Damn. And our chat room and Twitch isn't working. That sucks. Sorry, guys. Anyways, 18-year-old Chinese man sells kidney to pay a video game debt. That's right.
Wait a minute. Run it by me one more again. I don't think I heard you properly.
18-year-old Chinese man sells kidney to pay video game debt.
Notice the silence after this, because you know that came with face, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Same over here. Same over here. All right. So, we've been hearing about it. You know, what was it? One guy sold a kidney for an Apple iPad or some crap and all this other stuff. Well, now people are selling their kidneys to pay video game debts. The trend continues. There's a report over at our frenemies, Kotaku, who I got it from Game Politics. But anyways, an 18-year-old Chinese man surnamed Zhang from the Gansu province has sold his kidney. Zhang had to find a way to pay down some debt he apparently amassed while playing video games. In need of cash, Zhang found an organ dealer, because apparently those are common over there, to sell his kidney. After signing some dubious documents, he sold it for $6,510, but apparently the going rate for kidney on the black market is $47,000.
He owed $47,000?
No. That's how much a kidney is going for on the black market.
Hell, I'll sell mine at that rate.
I know. He only got $6,510.
Oh, come on. Oh, see now, dude.
Yeah.
That's not enough. 47, I could see maybe you're like, I could pay off a lot of stuff with that, and I only need the one kidney. I'll be all right. Mm-hmm. No, $6,000 is enough. Not even close.
I know, right?
Hell, they pay that for eggs here in the United States. Do some
I know.
Of the girls know that? You can sell your eggs. You're not going to use all of them. You might as well sell them.
the kidney money was used to pay down his debt, which was all of $3,255. Yeah. The Chinese media is using the term video games, and it's more likely the young man was engaging in some sort of online gambling instead.
Yeah, probably. I'm amassing this playing The Sims or something. I just don't.
Yeah. As for the kidney, they say it probably didn't stay on ice long. Apparently, the police arrested a criminal gang operating out of the Hebei province in China. The gang was arrested for dealing in black market organs, and one of those organs, a kidney, supposedly belonged to a Chinese gamer. Wow. Of course, like I said, it's not the first story of somebody selling a body part to pay for gaming or tech. There's a Chinese teen from Anhui province who sold one of his kidneys to buy an Apple iPad back in 2011. See, I knew it was something like that.
How much did he get? Does it say how much he got?
He got an Apple iPad.
That's it. Okay,
that's
people,
it.
Your body parts are precious. Do I need to tell you? If you're
going
to sell
them. Kidney's not going to grow back.
Yeah, the kidney's not going to grow back, and you're only going to have the one, so you need to make sure you're set in case you might need to be able to pay for hospital care in case that other kidney fails.
What if you need it when you get older?
Yeah. And you don't have, and all you sold it for was $6,000. At least with $47,000, if you're smart, and you're probably not all that smart. If you're smart, you can pay $47,000.
Body part, I think we can rule out being smart.
Well, I wouldn't say they're dumb. Depending on the debt, it shouldn't be done for video game debt, people. I'm thinking, you know, my kid's dying, and I got to pay for cancer treatment is maybe probably a good reason to sell a body part, but not for $6,000. You need to be saying, you know what, I need $60,000. The debts I got to pay off is $20,000, and I need to be able to pay, you know, the rest of the hospital stuff. And I know that sounds weird. Some of y'all are like, ew, but I'm trying to put a reasonable spin on this.
Yeah, okay.
Video game debt is not a smart reason to do this. There are other reasons where I could look at somebody and say, you know what, you got mad love for your kid, mom, brother, sister that needed something, and this was the only way that you could help. I understand that. This right here, this is idiocy. Just stop playing the games. Just stop.
Or
go sell some blood or something. You may have to do it a few times. Well, I'm looking at things that regenerate, you know, that you can go sell some blood at, well, you can get plasma at least twice a week. You can't give blood that many times. But plasma, you can give all week long, and they pay $20 for plasma. Just saying.
I just don't understand people.
I don't understand the why. And the amount of money he got. Did you not do your research? If you're supposed to get $47,000, you were supposed to have walked away with $47,000. At least I'd be like, well, he paid off his – I still would look at you crazy for doing it for games. But at least you got a nice hunk of change, you know? But you should be smart.
I guess.
To make. No, I'm just – like I said, I'm trying to put the positive spin on it somewhere. This is idiotic. How stupid. People, if you're going to sell your organs, get the good price. Yeah, I can't tell you not to. I can't tell you not to be stupid, but at least be smart enough to get good money. Kidneys are in high commodity. There's people who need kidneys would be happy to have your kidney so that they could live. At least make sure when you keep your one that you're going to be all right.
Exactly.
You can afford the dialysis. All right. There's some – this is bad news to me this morning.
What you got?
Atlas is parent company. Has filed for bankruptcy. If you're not familiar with Atlas, they made quite a few of our favorite little games, such as Trauma Center, and a lot of those. Gosh, I can't remember the name of the lawyer game. Anybody out there remember that? The one that was on the DS where you were having to gather all the evidence and try the case. You were the lawyer. It was very popular.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And you say accuse, and he'd say I object or whatever. Anyway, that one, I want to say Lost in Blue is from Atlas, one of the games I keep talking about. I keep trying to get Ginger to get a DS and play where you go fishing with spearfishing with
it. Oh, God. Y'all never see me again.
I want to see if you can complete it. That game is hard. And, I mean, I tried to get through it quickly. Anyway, so they filed for bankruptcy. According to CNET Japan, the corporation is filing for a government-managed rehabilitation, which is the Japanese equivalent of bankruptcy. The company currently owes 24.5 billion yen. That's $249 million after a series of acquisitions went south. Index Corporation Chief Executive Officer and President Yoshimi Ogawa Ochikai, I may be saying that wrong, and Board Chairman Masami Okai have both expressed their intentions to resign prior to the proceedings. Ooh. In a recent press release, Index did note that the Atlas brand is profitable and successful. I would say so. Index is looking for a sponsor or partner as soon as possible. So the games division won't be affected by the bankruptcy. This is not the beginning of Index Corporation's issues, of course. The company posted total revenue of 5.65 billion yen, $574.4 million, with a net loss of 2.263 billion yen. That's 23 million for its second fiscal quarter of 2013. According to Siliconera, this left the company with 1.435 billion yen. That's 14.6 million in debt. Index also recently came under investigation by Japan's Securities and Exchange Surveillance Commission for improper accounting via fake transactions. Ooh, this is according to a report by the Anime News Network. The SCSC searched Index Tokyo's headquarters at the home of its chairman earlier this month as part of the investigation. Atlas, I do hope you can come back from this. I love your games. Ugh, I do. I love all of your stuff.
I don't know. Stop.
Wow, and they do some Atlas, of course, is a Japanese-owned company, so a lot of their games are Japanese. But they managed to make it over here. Sherlock Holmes, one of the ones we were reporting, is done by Atlas. God Mode. Code of Princess, which never made it over here, which I wish it had. Persona 4. King of Fighters, y'all remember that game from way back in the day? They redid it. The Cursed Crusade, I think I've heard of. Oh, and the new Game of Thrones game came from them.
Game of Thrones!
So they are actually profitable. They are not lying. I hope they pay for a lot of this. I hope so.
I got to sit down and watch the new True Bloods.
Like from this season?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're out.
There's only two.
There's only two? Well, I got to watch them.
And when you do, we got to talk, girl.
Awesome. Well, then you got to sit down and watch some Game of Thrones.
Girl, I got 3 or 4 seasons. How many seasons are we in?
I don't know, but I've seen them all.
Okay, somebody tell me what season we're in, and I'll make the effort. I'll see if it's on demand. I'll try to watch. I tried.
And I know, because she was all yelling at us the other day. Don't tell me!
Yes, I did. I'm waiting for this new show that's coming out on Starz called White Queen, and it's going to be all about the women. And I like the tagline. It said, men fight wars, women wage them. That nice. It's very interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So. I don't know why they felt like they needed to do this, but I'm kind of creeped out at the moment, so I'm going to read this to y'all. Here we go. Yeah, researchers from North Carolina State University, because they have nothing better to do, are using cockroaches and Microsoft Kinect sensor for an experiment. Actually, hold on. I'll be right back.
That was weird. All right, so Ginger and I both get phone calls at the same time. Okay, let me jump on to my next story. Okay, apparently the Xbox 360 is finally catching up to the Wii just now. It's set to dethrone Nintendo Wii as UK's best-selling current-gen home console. Microsoft Machine has now sold 8.4 million consoles in the UK. Numbers company ChartTrack is keeping track of this. Nintendo's Wii once ruled the roost, but sales have since petered off in the past few years. Xbox 360 now regularly outsells the PlayStation 3, Wii, and Wii U in weekly hardware sales figures. Xbox 360 is still 1.5 million sales away from beating the UK's all-time home console record, held by PlayStation 2, of course. Sony's classic machine notched up an astonishing 10 million sales in the UK since its launch in 2000. Year 2000. Wow. Could Xbox ever catch up? Microsoft is still pushing the console, which now has a new, more angular design. The vast majority of this Christmas blockbusters will launch for the console, too, despite Xbox One expected arriving in November. It's fantastic to see Xbox 360 become the best-selling console in the UK, according to GfK ChartTrack. UK Xbox boss Harvey Eagle said, "This is a historic milestone, and our sincere thanks goes to each and every person that has bought and enjoyed Xbox 360 over the past 8 years. As you saw at E3, they said they announced a new Xbox form factor, and we're committed to ensuring Xbox 360 remains the best place to play games, connect with friends, and enjoy your entertainment. You'll see great exclusive content coming not only to Xbox, but also to the Xbox One later this year." Maybe. All right. How many of you out there are using some Imgur? Really? You? You and you there? Yeah, you? Okay, so everybody knows most of the...
couldn't hear me. I was muted. Do
you want to jump in? You want to take this one then?
No, you go right on ahead with right. Imgur.
Okay, so it's, according to VentureBeat, no secret. Links that are shared on Reddit mostly come from Imgur. This is a popular image sharing service that brings over 4 billion page views and 80 million unique visitors a month. It's not so much of a secret that Reddit users really love memes, the caption images, you know, inside jokes.
Yeah,
and images, okay. So the magical combination of peanut butter and chocolate, which is Imgur and memes, is they made a logical decision and launched their own meme generator tool today. Wow. Okay, so CEO Alan Schaff said in a statement, "Our community has been asking for an Imgur meme generator for a long time, so we hope they're as excited about it as we are to deliver it to them. It just makes sense that as more content is hosted and shared on Imgur, we continue to hand over creation tools to our community. We can't wait to see what they come up with. That means you'll no longer have to go through the arbitrary process of creating a meme on sites like Quick Meme, only to upload the final image to Imgur before sharing on Reddit. Redditors prefer all image links come from Imgur anyway." The company's decision to launch a meme generator tool also coincides with Reddit's recent decision to blacklist Quick Meme itself after discovering that the site's creator was artificially voting up his posts on the community news sharing site. Crime does not pay this. The Imgur meme generator tool was actually already in the works months ago, according to the company. Its engineering team rushed to integrate the tool on the site to fill the void left by Quick Meme. The meme generator tool itself should prove as simple and effortless as using Imgur's image uploading and sharing experience. The company said users should easily be able to drag and drop text boxes on images, which will then be sized automatically to fit. Yes?
That's cool.
Oh, there's also a variety of classic memes. Scumbag Steve, Velociraptor, Overly Attached Girlfriend,
God.
Awkward Penguin.
Scumbag Steve!
Good Guy Greg and
that
others.
Not be allowed over at Reddit ever because...
Yes. The meme generator tool also comes just days after Imgur launched a new Android app, which with plans to have an Android iOS app meme, I guess, generator. Last year, the company also introduced a plethora of social tools to enhance sharing and to grow its community. Fantastical.
Yay! All right, so I love me some Reddit. Really, I do. I love me some Reddit. I lose my flipping soul over there, but I love it. All right, so... Let me get back to my creepy. Sorry about that. Researchers from North Carolina, like I said, nothing better to do, are using cockroaches and Microsoft's Kinect sensor for an experiment that allows them to drive the little insects around. Ick. Ugh. Using Microsoft's motion sensing Kinect technology and some electronics, they figured out how to control a cockroach in real life. The team of scientists working on this bizarre project hope that a remote-controlled cockroach could one day be used in disaster search and rescue scenarios, such as mapping out a collapsed building or finding survivors. Our goal is to be able to guide these roaches as efficiently as possible, and our work with Kinect is helping us do that. This is coming from Dr. Alper Bozkurt. Anyways, he's an electrical and computer engineering professor at North Carolina State and one of the lead authors on the study. He says we want to build on this program, incorporating mapping and radio frequency techniques that will allow us to use a small group of cockroaches to explore and map disaster sites. The autopilot program would control the cockroaches, sending them on the most efficient routes to provide rescuers with a comprehensive view of the situation. The cockroach is controlled using an implanted digital interface that is capable of stimulating the insect's sensor organs. When manipulated correctly, they can cause the cockroach to believe a barrier or predator is near, causing it to scurry away. The Microsoft Kinect is used to track and monitor the insect's progress, leading it along a predetermined path. Researchers are hoping that they can add more sensors to the cockroach so it can be more specialized for disaster relief efforts. Bozkurt says we may even be able to attach small speakers, which would allow rescuers to communicate with anyone who is trapped.
On one hand, this sounds fantastic. On the other hand, we know what's coming, don't y'all?
Can they find something that was better, like a ladybug or something not so icky?
Forget that. You know what's coming next. They're going to start trying to figure out ways to control us.
Oh, you know they're already working out on that. You know they are.
Although that wouldn't be a bad idea if I could make Baby Natrix not go to parties when she's a teenager.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah.
Speakers to her and see exactly where she'd be. I'm watching you, girl.
Mama.
I'm watching you, girl. I see you. All right. You know what? Never mind. I was going to debut a multiplayer video for Battlefield 4 for you guys, but I'm not going to do it. All right, so moving along. What is going up with what's going on with Apple, people? Why are you doing such weird stuff? Apple's iOS 7 beta is going to include head gestures, which is going to enable you to control your iPhone by moving your head left or right. The gestures are already buried in Apple's accessibility settings and are currently only intended, it appears, for people who cannot access iPhone's on-screen controls. Activating switch control allows a user to attach a left or right head movement to highlight an on-screen option and select it. More interestingly, however, this means that Apple has created camera-based gesture sensing technology, which could eventually find its way into apps and the operating system at large. Yeah, pretty much what Microsoft's doing with the Kinect business. They're going to facial recognition. Wink your right eye 3 times to open this app. Okay, anyway. iOS 7 is beta technology, of course, and so is the head sensing gesture interface. According to VentureBeat, the iPhone is very easily lost view of faces when it was tested if you were too close or less than a foot away or too far a couple of feet away. The technology is limited by iPhone 5's front-facing camera, which is only 1.2 megapixels compared to the back one, which is 8, which probably can see a whole lot better. Now, it is not entirely clear how they will incorporate gestures into the iOS, and very possible they will remain simply for the purposes of accessibility. However, the fact that Apple is building this technology raises some interesting questions about how future Apple TV products or the iWatch smartwatch that we were drooling over might work, especially the new Mac Pro and Apple monitors or laptops. Currently, the leader in gesture control is Leap Motion, and I believe Leap Motion are the same people behind the Leap Pad, Leap Frog, all those things. But Leap Motion, apparently, and you guys put your hands above the desk when I tell you this, has 200 times the sensitivity of the current Xbox Kinect. Will embed into select HP laptops right out of the box. Leap Motion is focused on Windows-based computers to date, but they're looking to expand, so you may start seeing them on Mac pretty soon.
Interesting. Interesting.
I say very, very interesting, too. I wish I could breathe. out of both my nostrils.
Poor Corey.
It would be nice to breathe out of both nostrils. I'm just saying.
I know, right?
Air is a privilege, not a right.
Well, people aren't going to forget about activist Aaron Swartz, and that's a good thing.
Who?
Aaron Swartz, he's the activist who ended up killing himself. He was
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
That was a bad joke. Love you, Aaron. Sorry.
Internet activist Aaron Swartz is going to be inducted into the Internet Hall of Fame. Kind of cool.
All right.
Yeah. Internet activist Aaron Swartz has been posthumously, I'm probably saying that wrong, inducted into the Internet Hall of Fame. This is according to the BBC. Swartz committed suicide in January of this year in his New York City apartment. He was only 26 years old. He helped build Internet institutions like Reddit and Creative Commons, co-authored the very first RSS specification, and was an Internet activist through his work as the founder of Demand Progress. Swartz killed himself while filing charges filed by the Justice Department that he hacked an online archive of academic papers. His family, fellow Internet activists, academics, and right groups strongly condemned the U.S. government's aggressive pursuit of legal charges against Swartz. If he were found guilty, he would have faced decades in prison, which is bullcrap, and fines of about $1 million. Swartz was about one of 32 individuals in the Internet Hall of Fame that the Internet Hall of Fame chose as its 2013 inductees. Others include Bob Metcalf, the inventor of the Internet and Ethernet networking technology, and Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wells.
How nice.
The ceremony to honor this year's Hall of Fame inductees is going to be held in Berlin on August 3rd.
Very nice.
Because you really haven't heard much about him recently. I mean, we keep hearing everything about Snowden. We really haven't heard much about Aaron Swartz and his tragic, untimely death and how our government forced him to do it.
Well, it's a good thing that they're inducting him. I think, of course, we're not going to hear a lot about him. He's unfortunately still not around, and the focus is on Snowden and what he's done. And they're trying to find him. It's pretty much it. They're going to keep trying to find him. I hope wherever he is, you just stay hidden, dude. Stay hidden.
Dude, run. Yeah.
Run like the wind. If I could, I'd hide you at my house. But you would probably not like what's going on here. Baby Natrix is playing Minecraft all the time. The cat wants to sit in your lap. She's meowing in your face.
She caught a
bug last night, and she was having a merry old time playing with the bug. Ginger, you all supposed to warn me about stuff like that.
They love bugs, by the way.
Thanks for telling me now. That was very scary.
Well, on the good news, she's getting the bugs.
Yeah, I'm happy that she's getting the bugs. But the point is we were trying to figure out what she had in her mouth because she was carrying. It was a huge bug. She was carrying it around, and then she'd put it down and she'd tap it real hard, like run. And then when it would try to run, she'd chase it down again. I was like, okay, cats are odd. All right, I have lost my news story. How could I forget? I mentioned this yesterday, but I wanted to mention it again, that Anarchy Online turned 12. Yay! Actually, it was 12 years ago today, so I was a day ahead. Happy birthday to Anarchy Online. Funcom, of course, released 12 years ago today the most innovative and longest-running MMO game in history. Wow. Anarchy Online immediately captured gamers' fascinations as it launched them into the first ever science fiction MMO experience. Remember, they're not like EverQuest in that way. And for 12 years, Funcom has evolved and expanded this rich universe through regular updates as well as major expansions as Shadowlands and Alien Invasion, and also were the first ever, I don't care what Steam tells you, to offer digital download for your game. You had to download it in pieces via your DSL and internet, and you had to piece it all together in a folder and then unzip it, and then you could install the installer, and that was going to take you a few days after that. It took you a few days to download all those files and another few days to get it patched up. But anyway, despite its age, Anarchy Online still serves as home to thousands of people around the world with more than 2.4 million characters that have inhabited the alien world of Rubikaw to date. Among those, 38% have sworn allegiance to the all-power Omnitech Corporation. That was me. Woo! And 38.5% have joined the rebellious clans. 23.5% have chosen to stay neutral in the epic conflict. Among all the breeds that inhabit the world of Rubikaw, a Solitus, the breed most similar to the original human being, is by far the most popular with 35.8% of all players choosing this origin, while the fragile yet highly intelligent Nano is the least popular with only 20.3% share of players. As of today, there are more than 15,000 player-made organizations in the Anarchy Online universe, and almost 60% of all players have joined one of those player collectives. So they had this player-created societies even before Eve was around. So y'all thought you and Eve, you thought you were, you know, the big kids on campus. You came up with this idea. You did not. Anarchy Online is a game that 12 years after launch still stands as a pillar of innovation in the MMO genre. That's from Joel Bylos, creative director at Funcom. Going forward with our current plans for the new engine, the new player experience, and Steam integration now, we are hoping to ensure at least another 12. Innovation has been the key word for Anarchy Online since its first launch back in 2001.
Wow.
Not only was it the first massively multiplayer online game to feature instancing, a mechanic that is common in most games in its genre today, it was also the first MMO to feature in-game advertisement, digital download, which I just told you, virtual world radio, in-game concerts, virtual items, and the freemium business model. Yes, they have been free-to-play from day one. Work.
Oh, woo!
Currently, developers at Funcom are hard at work finalizing a new graphics engine for Anarchy Online and will make significant improvements to overall visual quality of the game. The team is also working on a new player experience, making it easier than ever to join and get involved in the Anarchy Online universe. To celebrate this momentous occasion, Funcom is inviting you and you and you and you. You know what? No Rick Rollin. No Rick Rollin! Funcom is inviting all of you. Join the exciting celebration in-game. A unique set of events will take place during the celebrations where the rebel clans will fight for their freedom against the defending Omnitech. Woo! The desert nomads are also back. And in the new land desert, the Tinker is back and is ready to make large and explosive gifts for her favorite enemy, the Desert Rider. You can join her in her madness and take out the mini desert nomad to find parts of the mini gifts she wants to make. To learn about more about the celebrations, you can visit the official website, anarchy-online.com. I'm telling you, you will love it if you've never played it. It'll be fantabulous. You can check out some screenshots up on GivenAtrix.com. Just put them up for you. All hot, fresh, and sexy.
Yay!
I just realized I got biscuits in my...
Girl, I'm coming to your house then.
Oh, biscuits in the kitchen.
I think whatever I ate last night was not happy with me.
Biscuits in the kitchen, biscuits in the kitchen. Yeah, anyway, yeah, scroll down and check out those screenshots. These are probably not the best shots of Anarchy Online. I do believe they're updating the engine because it is looking a little dated, but it's been around for quite a while. It's looking a bit dated. You never played this one, did you, Ginger?
I did not.
You should give it a try. You might actually like it. It's very Star Wars-ish in its execution. Like Star Wars. Remember, we were all talking. We love Star Wars, the online one.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Yeah. Very, very, very much in its execution. I think they borrowed a lot from this game. I am a chatty Cathy today. Ginger, you have to stop me when I do that. Go.
That's okay. All right. So, my go. I'm gonna do two because this one's actually kind of short. I thought it was kind of neat. Snowden leaks the game.
Great. Right. I knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming, yeah. A new web game called Snowden's Leaks the Game, starring Edward Snowden and President Obama, lets players take the man who leaked information about the NSA spying activities, Prism, and mobile phone data collection for a spin as he fills up the USB drives with secret data while avoiding NSA agents and security cameras, using distractions like donuts and hiding places like the American flag.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. After all the serious headlines about this matter, I thought people would enjoy something lighthearted, says Robin Rass, the 23-year-old owner of GamesOnly.com. We thought the Snowden affair is thrilling and has all the ingredients for a fun parody spy game. Robin Rass also owns a network of gaming websites and includes several other video games. The game is in collaboration between two Dutch indie developers, GamesOnly and NewsGame.nl. It was developed in 72 hours and released earlier this week. It is free to play, which I will be playing later. Maybe I will switch it and let y'all see it because, oh my God, that's kind of funny. That's kind of funny. He's hiding behind the flag. That's funny.
Where is my Twitch window? That reminds me. I think I accidentally closed it. Oh, no, there you are, honey.
Oh, no.
Okay, that is, because I wanted to see it. Yeah. That is adorable.
Well, since that was short, I'm going to leave that playing because it's only got a couple of seconds left. I'm going to do another one.
Do it.
Southern Interactive Entertainment and Game Expo set for October 4th through the 6th in Atlanta. The Southern Interactive Entertainment and Game Expo, or SIEGE for short, will debut an International Game Developers Association, IGDA, leadership track focusing on advancing the state-of-the-art in game production and management on October 4th through the 6th of 2013 at the Marriott Northwest Galleria Hotel in Atlanta. The IGDA leadership track is at SIEGE. The IGDA leadership track at SIEGE is headed up by Keith Fuller of Fuller Game Production and is an extension of the IGDA's popular leadership forums.
Let's hope they don't have any strippers this time.
Yeah, yeah. Now in its 6th year, SIEGE offers attendees a chance to hear from speakers from a wide spectrum of the game production industry, including artists, programmers, designers, investors, writers, teachers, and business executives. Other sessions will be run by government figures, experts on computer game violence, social issues, and serious game development. SIEGE also includes a college fair for high school students looking to learn game design skills, a Games for Health Day at SIEGE, a games investment conference, and many networking events for people looking to enter the industry as well as people already making games. All right, so you want to find out more about this? SIEGECon.net/SIEGE2013.
Woo, woo, woo,
woo. Get in the door, folks. Get your jobs. Because I'm coming for them. Yeah. I don't know.
Are you coming from Ginger?
You gonna take
your jobs?
I'm gonna take the jobs.
Ginger gonna take your job.
Yes.
All right, run that there video for me.
No.
Please.
No.
Please and thank you. Ginger's a good girl. Yes, she is.
No. Okay, there.
Ginger's a good girl. Yes. She is.
Oh, it's loud. Oh, it's loud. Okay, there you go.
All right, the Settlers. The Settlers
are
celebrating
wow,
their 20th
totally
anniversary. We gotta watch. Oh, he is cute. God, look at man, the eyes. My eyes, girl.
No. Oh,
amazing eyes. Amazing eyes. Gorgeous. I even like the beard. Okay, so today Ubisoft and Blue Byte are proud to announce the 20th anniversary of the famous brand, The Settlers. Their very first The Settlers game was released way back in 1993 for Amiga/PC and later ported for MS-DOS. If you don't know what MS-DOS is, you should be slapped. This was the beginning of one of the most biggest success stories in computer gaming made in Germany. So far, 7 main games and multiple adaptations have been released, including the very successful browser game, The Settlers Online. Until now, more than 9 million copies have been sold. To celebrate this anniversary, a new event will take place in the game. New adventures taking their inspirations from Settlers 2 will appear. The retro click adventures, playable for all players, and the semi-retro military adventures, playable for all players from level 26. A new balloon resource will also be made available. This lootable resource will contribute to the community effort. Each server will be ranked according to its global number of balloons. So if players work together, they will get the best rewards. Additionally, servers will have to reach a certain amount of balloons. While a server completes 100% of its balloon objectives, its users are automatically rewarded with the Settlers 2 original headquarters. Every further objective reach will grant players with nice rewards. I think we all have. Additionally, the fastest server with the one that has gathered the most balloons will receive extra rewards. You can start playing The Settlers right now for free at thesettlersonline.com, and that'll be up on our site along with this lovely video for you girls that want to see how hot this guy is, because good Lord, the man is gorgeous.
Not this guy so much, but the other guy. The other guy. Where is he? Bring him back.
Yes. Excellent. quite excellent. I just had a weird thought. Something I just realized that was taken out of SimCity when I saw this. Does anybody that used to play SimCity remember you used to be able to start in 1920, 1930? I don't think you can do that in the new one. And I love that you got to watch your city change through the time.
Mm-hmm.
And certain things weren't available. Like,
oh, they got a girl. Look, she's cute. Oh, I like her shirt.
I wasn't looking at the girl. Yeah, but anyway, I'm probably going to play this today, too, if I can tear myself away from that Pac-Man game. Serious business. I'm hooked up on the Pac-Man.
Yep.
Ural, this is all your fault.
How dare you, Ural? How dare you?
This is all your fault. You done tickered you.
Oh, my God. All right.
You like
MU Rebirth. Yeah, that's right.
Moo?
Rebirth. Moo. Maybe it's Moo.
Moo.
Fans of the highly acclaimed Moo Online will be thrilled to learn that Moo Rebirth is based on the classic gaming style of its predecessor and shares many of the game's features. However, unlike Moo Online, this new adaptation focuses heavily on intense PvP interaction and features three exciting new components. Faster leveling, you can level up faster than ever before. A rebirth feature, after reaching level 400, players can strengthen their characters through the game's new rebirth feature. This allows players to start their character at level 1 again to accumulate more points, while all their stats remain the same. That's kind of cool. New free items, Moo Rebirth offers a wide range of weapons and armor that can be redeemed in the item shop with free game cash, which can be earned within the game. The worldwide release of Moo Rebirth on WebZen.com marks the game's official debut on all servers across the globe. To celebrate the game's launch, WebZen will host a massive global PvP tournament for cash prizes.
Ooh.
Yeah, details are going to be announced July 3rd. So you can watch a video on Moo Rebirth's upcoming PvP tournament on, well, which I'm showing you right now. I'm going to lose my voice. Players can sign up for the official game as closed beta, which is being held July 3rd through the 10th, by visiting event.webzen.com/moo-chronicles. Oh my god, you know what? I'm just going to tweet this out because effing yo, that's a long link. Yay! Moo.
He's like a sick cow. Moo. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I was not logged into Twitter. I know some of you were tweeting. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go play the Settlers. So we're going to end the show now. I'm kidding. I'm not. Shh, it's okay. Shh. Ginger. What?
Don't you tell me.
Okay, now, according to some new studies, some of you are getting into good shape via your games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby.
So you all are getting up and working it out. You know what? Why are you Rickrolling today?
I don't know.
You do that once a week now. You did it last week. We're going to have to get into some help. You need a Rickroll patch or something.
I'm sorry.
Y'all, she needs help. Send Microsoft points or something. Money. All right, so. The report, basically, fitness video games are saying have grown sharply in the past decade, according to a new report released by the game industry's trade group and a White House study group. That means that getting gamers to exercise is no longer just a novelty. It's a $750 million a year business. The ESA and the President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition said that 20% of all games released in 2011 were active games, or those that required you to expend energy aside from tapping buttons on the controller. That compares to just 5% during the period from 2002 to 2007. The enthusiasm surrounding active video games is fundamentally transforming how we play and engage in physical activity. And you all laughed at we when they said they wanted us to do this. You all were like, that's never going to catch on. Eric Huey, who's the Senior Vice President for Government Affairs at the ESA, said in a statement, "Not only is this expanding market segment a promising growth opportunity for our industry, but it is also motivating families to exercise and lead healthier, more fulfilling lives." The report credited active games to the emergence of, yes, the motion-sensing game consoles such as the Wii. Ha ha, give them their due. They did something great. Also, Microsoft Kinect is credited. Active game sales generated about $750 million in revenue in 2012, and they are expected to be a continued revenue driver for industry through 2015. It's widely known that all kids should be active at least 60 minutes a day, but unfortunately, only 1 in 3 kids are getting that recommended amount. Studies show they are now consuming over 7.5 hours of screen time every day. This is from a PCSSN member and the NBA All-Star Chris Paul of the Los Angeles Clippers in a statement. Said, and that's why I'm excited about the growing number of video games that are helping kids and families get active. EEDAR, a game market researcher, conducted the study and found that active games encourage healthy activity among children, engage new audiences in physical education classes, and provides a fun activity. More than 90% of active video games released from 2002 to 2012 were rated E, or E10+, for all ages and those 10 years of age and up. The ESA and the PCFSN are releasing a new challenge dubbed the Active Play Presidential Active Lifestyle Award. The fitness award encourages kids to be active for 1 hour a day, and I'm going to pass this along to Baby Natrix, see if she wants to get in on that.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think it's my go again. Yay! Microsoft no longer charging developers for patching their Xbox 360.
Hey, I had that story next. I just tweeted it out.
I just stole it. He's a theft. What you gonna do?
He's theft.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft is no longer charging developers and publishers a fee for updates, according to multiple sources. Apparently, Microsoft made the change to its policy on updates earlier in the year. Before that change, any updates after the one free update publishers were entitled to cost developers tens of thousands of dollars. Ouch. Microsoft has always charged a fee when developers first submit their games to Microsoft's certification process so that they can be approved for release, and the company normally grants developers one title update free of charge. Sources have told Eurogamer that subsequent recertification as a result of title updates is now free. This applies to Xbox Live Arcade games and full retail games. There are a number of limitations to this entire process still. For example, if a developer is making an excessive number of resubmissions due to a given update failing the certification process, Microsoft reserves the right to issue a charge. A number of developers have complained about Microsoft's patching costs, including Double Fine boss Tim Schafer, who mentioned the $40,000 cost to patch Xbox 360 games. Fez developer Polytron. Sorry?
How much was it?
$40,000.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fez developer Polytron also decided to reissue a patch that corrupted a small minority of players' save files because fixing it would require the very costly process of getting the game recertified. Wow. Ouch. That sucks, yo.
$40,000.
And people wonder why everybody's been screaming, they're not indie friendly. Because what indie company's going to have $40,000 laying around?
They genuinely don't.
Spectacular.
Just imagine, oh God. Imagine something went down like it did with SimCity. You know, say this indie company managed to do very, very well. Everything's going along fine, nice, well, and fine. Then they got a patch. And they don't have the money. They can't. It's a great game, but they just can't do it. I got to let y'all know, there's a Steam sale apparently going on. I don't know what's in it.
Steam sale?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in it or any details. I just got this passed along to me. Did you tell me about Steam sale? No. I'll get around to it shortly, so I'm telling you. All right.
Ask if that's the blaster asking, but...
No, not this time. It'd be not the blaster. It's not the blaster.
We all know how he can be with Steam.
I don't think he's, you know, up to his date on Steam because I haven't heard any. You know, usually he'll shoot me a smart mouth little comment. Yeah, so I don't think he's up to date on his Steam stuff.
Blaster, we miss you. Come back.
You be missed deeply. All right, let me get Ginger this here website so she can show it to you whilst I tell you about it.
No.
We just got a few minutes left, so I'm going to run it. Wait a minute. What's going on here? I love when they do this. They give us a little crazy link that we can't do anything with. All right. This is going to be either...
Oh, so I'm not showing anything?
Well, you are. I just had to go get a better link than what they gave me. It was long and crazy. All right. There's a new MMO. As if we didn't have enough of these. Join the fight to save the world in the first story-driven social game, Tenon. This is a social fantasy RPG for web browsers.
Yeah.
And it's debuting today. It meshes the immediacy and the approachability of browser-based social games with a rich epic story and vivid high-quality art. The game gives players a broad variety of character options, allowing brave warriors to assemble a custom squad of allies and equip an extensive arsenal of upgradable gear, letting you pit your heroes against the world gone mad. Or each other, because you know how Ginger likes to roll. You can play it for free right now if you go to Tenon.com. In Tenon, you start the game as a recruit of Airy City, a floating city in the sky, because you know that's going to be safe, and you're tasked with saving the world from impending doom.
You know I'd follow.
Unlike traditional video games, the innovative combat system focuses on strategy. You're free from inputting battle commands during the fight, free from. We like putting in battle command. Oh, come on. While maintaining passive control over your character, you have 8 maps, daily world bosses, guild warfare, and epic loot, because all loot is epic. Tenon brings an in-depth high fantasy MMORPG to web browsers. Experience a rich world with vivid artwork and approachable game social game format. The questing action is playable anytime, anywhere, except for your cell phone. Single-player adventure. They have you can travel the realm and battle a variety of foes across 8 maps and various dungeons, assemble your band of heroes, craft epic loot, discover golden treasures, and save the floating city. Then there's some innovative combat. They say vivid battle scenes keep you focused on strategy, so you don't have to do those boring inputs of commands, which some of us love so much. Doesn't sound like fun to me. You can customize your heroes to your liking, special weapons and armor, enlist your friends in guilds, challenge them in the combat arena, or face off in the wild. Conquer the land, complete quests to receive huge rewards while unraveling an epic Lynx RPG tale.
Ooh.
Ooh. What do you think there, Ginger? Does it look exciting?
It looks more of the same of what we've already had, but I might check it out.
I'm going to tell you now.
I got to say that the girl needs more armor because that's not armor.
Yeah, but her belly. Yeah, that's not. You got to cover the boobs. The people got to eat. See, this is what y'all don't understand, you developers. You're like looking for sexy practicality. If this was a warrior in the wild, she got to cover those things up. If she has babies, how's the baby going to eat?
Exactly.
Can't have
exactly.
The boobs. Mama would be protecting her boobs at all times.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not about sexy.
That's kind of crazy. All right, so we got a couple of minutes left. I think I can probably fit in one more. Let me see what I got for you. The next chapter for the Aurora World.
Oh, yes. That's up on the site, too. They can check that out if you after dinner's done. Get live.
I think I have this. I think that's what this trailer is. Let me back up a little bit. There we go. The next. Oh, that's making sounds. No sounds. The next chapter begins for fantasy MMORPG, the Aurora World. Time to party up with fellow adventurers and tackle new challenges. Today, launching the next chapter for its popular MMORPG, the Aurora World, GBE Games is excited with this new update. It's bursting with new content, including increased level cap to 70, the highly anticipated Nation War PvP, that's hot, upgraded servers, and so much more. Yeah, baby. Level cap increased to 70. Sorry, first wave is probably right. Players can join up with the fellow adventurers and tackle all the new challenges that lie ahead as they experience the new level content complete with new skills unlocked for each profession. Highly anticipated nation wars arise and nations will collide. It's now time to settle the age-old argument to which nation is the most skilled and powerful in this epic all-out player PvP battle. Whose nation will come out on top? Additionally, in an effort to improve the Aurora World's overall gaming experience, upgraded servers and server locations have been added to reduce lag and better serve the varying regions. Other improvements include fine-tuning the player population and balance between the three nations, including adding most of the enchanting items to the points mall, making cash shop Majins more readily available. Yay! And to celebrate the next chapter update, the Aurora World is kicking off 2 exciting events. The Leveling King will reward the first 10 players who reach level 70 from each nation with a special title and legendary dragon costume. Players can also receive a free level 70 Majin. Players to give get 5 level 60 purple armors and enhance them to plus 6 will get an exclusive level 70 Unicorn Majin for their efforts. Yay! All right, so that's the Aurora World over at auroraworld.com.
All right, and we're out of here. Now, I want to share with y'all real quick before we go, those of you who have little people, or even big people, some of you who've always wanted to learn how to code, looking at you, Ginger, also, check out a website called code.org. You'll thank me later.
Okay.
And we are out of here. Oh, I got to make sure I don't play the wrong song because, I almost pressed something we can't play during the day. That would have been really, really bad.
That would have been really, 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 really bad.
This song's going out to Ginger.
You got your keys, but where you going? The third degree just isn't working. Cause you walked out without asking me to go in.
home, would you be alone?